Welcome to the Clarity Corner, where you'll discover how to unlock and express the most authentic version of you and realize that this is exactly what you were looking for the entire time. I'm your host and your coach, Megan Siemens. Now let's make some magic happen. Welcome back to the Clarity Corner, my friends. Today, we are in for a real treat. I think I say that every episode, but truly these interviews, or as I like to call them, aligned conversations, they're just so magic. It's so good to hear someone just giving life to their gifts in so many ways, shapes, or forms. So I hope that you find all of these aligned conversations such a treat. But today we have one of my long-term mentors and teachers and friends, Sora Schilling. Sora is a sacred space holder, strategy alchemist, transformative business coach, powerful medicine woman, energy healer, international retreat leader, inspirational speaker, fire igniter, heart whisperer, and world traveler. As a spiritual energy coach, Sora is here to guide coaches and luminaries to create a prosperous new world through energy work, mindset, archetypes, and the devoted way. Sora works with sovereign spiritual folks to incorporate the art of feeling sacred on their priestess path through earth-based practices. She loves to help people embrace their medicine while sitting in ceremony. She leads highly intuitive individuals and groups through powerful experiences inside of Devoted Energy Coaching School, leading luminous circles and retreats, deep facilitatory training, VIP days, on retreats, and from the stage. Sora blends real-world experience with mystical transformation, ritualistic practices, inner reflection, and innovative circle work to help luminaries create great impact within their communities. Truly, I have been in space with Sora in so many different dynamic ways. Almost every single version of the way she holds space shared in her bio, I have been in that space of, and it is truly such a heart-opening gift to be in space with Sora. She has a way of pulling out your magic, pulling out your medicine in ways that you maybe thought weren't even possible. And the wisdom that comes through in this episode, we chat through her human design, which Sora is quite the human design guide herself and our very first projector that we've had on the show. And so we get our first taste of the projector zoomed out big picture guidance. She also chats through some of her splenic authority, the six in her profile, which is a profile line that operates in phases. And she shares some stories through those phases. We also talk about what the heck energy coaching is and so, so much more. So just go ahead, cozy on in, my friends, and get ready for some serious magic with Sora. Today, our wonderful guest is a strategy alchemist, an energy coach, a powerful medicine woman, a 6-2 splenic projector, one of the most divine space holders I know, the founder of Devoted Energy Coaching School, and we share a love of magical TV shows, movies, and world travel. My forever teacher, welcome to the Clarity Corner, Sora Schilling.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And we have to also say friend, not only that. And so therefore, I'm super excited that I get to be here and have a conversation with you.
It's so true. While I was thinking about like the introduction of this, I was like, there's so many words. There's so many words to fit in. So I'm so excited to see where the full dynamic of all of that goes. Actually, I feel like that's something you're just so effortlessly good at, is weaving in all the contrasts and dynamics of someone's being, particularly in the work that they do. Has that always been easeful for you?
I would say I've come to feel as if it is a superpower of mine versus before feeling as if I was trying my best to honor the multifaceted nature of myself and wondering if I was ever going to find, quote, direction in life.
Ooh, I feel like so many people can relate to that, like finding direction in life. So I don't usually start with the profile piece in human design, but I know you have a six in your profile, and I feel like with sixes, there are a lot of lessons in direction, and that first phase of life tends to be nice and messy and full of experiences. And are there any particular parts of your journey that you're kind of called to share, particularly around this idea of like direction and finding that?
Yeah. So what I have come to realize now, not from before, but now having lived the messiness and the richness of life, is that when I look at myself from a six profile, I would now reflect back and saying that direction for me used to mean it having to be linear, that I was to live a life according to what society had told me I was supposed to live. And I never once second guessed that until, of course, my Saturn return. And then I was like, wait a second, all of this doesn't make any sense to me and what it is that I want. So, direction I recognize now is more around feeling this pull to do something that is out of the ordinary. And that direction would lead me into a completely different place than I would have ever expected. And so for me now, direction feels very interesting because I'm like, I don't know where I'm going, but there is a pull in one point of reference to go to. And so therefore, that direction. So rather than it being one after another, it's more like I'm going to go east, then I'm going to go southwest, and then it's going to be in all sorts of different ways. And I feel much more grounded in it because no matter what, the centering of myself is because I get to be present with wherever it is I'm going.
I love that. When you were saying like, oh, and now I'll go southeast. Do you know when you're like getting directions from like Siri on your GPS and she'll be like, turn southeast? And I'm like, I don't know what southeast is. How would I ever know that? But even like thinking about that in our life of just like, you actually don't need to know where southeast is. You can just figure it out with each step. And I know would you say you often talk about breadcrumbs? Would you say this is like the same concept? Can you explain
Exactly.
what a breadcrumb is to people that are like, wait, we're talking about Siri and now we're talking about bread?
So, yeah, so the metaphor of direction, because we went there with direction, is the same as I would call breadcrumbs. And so, therefore, I mean, yes, typically, if folks, I would some would associate breadcrumbs with the fairy tales of leaving breadcrumbs, and that's a scary breadcrumb to follow. But at the end of the day, those breadcrumbs led to safety, and so in that fairy tale. But when it comes to breadcrumbs, for me, it feels as if a breadcrumb is just one little niggle or one little profound space of understanding that doesn't necessarily lead to the final outcome of realization, but it simply means I'm on the right track. So there's an external feedback that provides me with just a little bit of an encouragement and a little bit of validation. So I get a little proof that in my humanness, there's some magic that can happen. And so therefore, I can continue to trust because we constantly forget that that's even possible.
Yeah, we do. So, how would you say if a business owner is listening to this and they're like, I want to follow these said breadcrumbs, I want to learn how to lean into that trust a little bit more? How would you say someone can even like start?
Well, I find that folks who feel like they don't know where to start, it's because they believe somewhere within them that they've never had that experience before. But we all have. And so I would say the first suggestion is to take a moment. And even if you hear myself say, hey, remember a time when something very auspicious or synchronistically happened in your life, or it was unexpected, what would come up as your first kind of memory around it? And that would seed in the idea of, wait a second, this has happened to me. That random time I thought about a friend and I made a phone call and they were in desperate need of me at that moment. Or I felt this call to put in an application and I got that job and I kind of knew it, but how was it possible that I was going to get this job? So that kind of proof provides us with the ability to one, be aware that it actually does happen in our life and it's not just another person. They get to have that and we don't. And then second, it helps us now in our humanness in this moment recognize, wait a second, if it's happened before, why couldn't it happen again?
Yeah, I love that. I feel like that is like direct teaching from your like splenic authority. We're going out all kinds of different orders with your human design chart today. Of course we are. Of course we are. Sora just sparks this beautiful out of orderness that completely makes sense in so many ways. But I feel like what you're talking about is like a direct teaching from your splenic authority of just that instant knowing within. And as I know you today, you're so in tune with this. Was that something you had to get to know as well, like similar to the direction piece?
I would say that there were pivotal moments in my life, which is probably my sixth journey, all the way through from one to six, where I just knew. And in those pivotal moments, life would change. Literally, a chapter would close and a brand new life would open. So, in that regards, yes, I trusted those moments. But in the in-between, because I have my own wounds, my own lowercase and capital case T traumas, and my own limited beliefs and conditioning, there are often times, and even still, where I can't necessarily, I am not listening. Not that I can't, but I'm not listening because there's a mask of the splenic fear rather than the knowing, which also instantly when I know, instantly afterwards, there is a fear. But sometimes the overall fear masks and makes me feel like I need to survive. And what needs to happen? Well, the conditioning of society tells me what I should do in order for me to survive. But that's not necessarily the most aligned essence of who I am.
I love that, and it's reminding me one of our very first one-on-one conversations that we had, and I was voicing some fears to you, and you were like, just give them life. Like, just give those fears life. And I think so often we try to push those fears down and push them away. And even just hearing you as someone who I see with such like an in-tune splenic authority, I've always seen you like follow that knowing, but it just feels like such a breath to even hear like, oh, those fears are actually just still there. Those fears are still there. And it's just such a good reminder that like we're all navigating that.
Absolutely. And we all find, I know for myself at least, there are certain fears that are constantly there or humming in the background. And I acknowledge it. And I also recognize that I'm not particularly in a place in my life where maybe I'm supposed to fully understand it, grasp it, and move completely through it. That I still have years to go and therefore many lessons to learn. So, some of the fears and shame, I'll be like, I see it and I trust that I will move to the other side at some point. And others, I'll believe maybe it'll never go away. And I can name a story recently. This past Monday, I had root canal. And for a very long time, I had a huge fear of the dentist. An incredible fear. Literally, I would sob and shake when I was in the seat, and I didn't actually know where it came from. And it only so happened that a couple years ago, I was able to find a dentist who was really gentle, but even that was still scary. And this time around, something with divine timing happened and everything aligned. And the experience of root canal was not bad at all. And what he said to me, the doctor, which really landed was, it's actually people's remembering of the pain before the canal that people associate with then the procedure that will make you better. And so then your stress level and your nervous system is so high from that pain and the remembering that when you come here, the most part of pain that you will feel is actually the injection that numbs you. But once that happens, you don't feel anything, and I'll talk you through the process, and it'll be easy and it's healthy for your tooth. And it was. And I, of course, like you, right? We could look at the meta of this from a healing journey perspective. And I literally sat there with the root canal going for like 3 hours and a crown, being like, this is the most profound experience I am having in life right now.
I love this for so many reasons. Because one, yes to the remembering that we can have profound experiences while having a root canal or doing the most random tasks. And two, like, how true is that with all fears? Like, almost every fear I can think of while you're like chatting through the story, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not actually feeling the fear of like what I'm going to experience. I'm actually feeling the fear of whatever the past wound was that created that fear. Yeah. Okay, so everyone, just put yourself in a root canal chair if you're feeling like you need to navigate the fear. That's the action step.
Totally. And the recognition that it's actually your memory and your body's reaction to something in the past, not in the present moment of what actually is or what will happen afterwards. Because, like anything, when we address the fear, it's so much easier on the other side. How many times have we been worried about a grown up yelling at us when we're a little about us doing something and we hide? And then afterwards, or we are lying and we have to tell the truth. And we're like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be so painful. And then afterwards, you feel so free. You're like, wait a second, that wasn't that bad. And I'm still okay.
Oh my goodness. So how do you feel, or do you feel like energy coaching supports you in these moments of fear, even like the moment of the root canal?
Yeah. And so for that, I've noticed with pain, and I work with this when I get sick, right? So when I'm having some sort of physical ailment, I sit with the pain. So energetically, from energy coaching, every pain or even somatic experience is a teacher. And so I work with the energy of that particular pain. So for about 24 hours, I didn't actually take any medicine, and I sat and slept with the pain of my tooth. I thought it was my gums. I didn't really know. And I just kind of friended the pain just to see if we can dance between the discomfort of the pain and then also a place of harmony almost, where it was a throbbing, but it was a dance. And so often for those who meditate, you feel that too, like your body could feel pain, but then it doesn't, and then it does. So that same kind of sense. And then I started to ask questions and see what's going on here. What was the lesson? What am I here to understand with this? And then recognizing that I'm not going to fully understand until I go through the actual procedure. And so that whole process was basically the energy coaching method all the way to the end, where I came home and I was like, wow, I understand. Not just my tooth, but and why a root canal is important, but just everything in life for that moment in time.
Yes. One, this is a reminder that I needed on a personal level today because I have like pulled my trap muscle. So like to turn my head, I have to like move my chair. And as you're speaking this, I'm like, oh yes, energy coaching. The method is always pinned on my desk and I can move through it. So the question I've maybe wanted to ask you for years, and probably have asked you, what the heck is energy coaching?
I was going to say in my mind, I was like, uh-oh, what's the question? Well, the great thing is that you could ask the question over and over, and it might be slightly different. So let's see what comes out of my mouth today. So energy coaching. I find the way that I have navigated with curiosity this sense of energy coaching is that, yes, everything around us is energy. And we have this way of connecting with the energy of trees and Mother Earth and other people. And so that energy externally is there. And in a spiritual sense, we often go inward to find stillness or answers or things like that. But it gets a little murky because we can often believe it's coming from this really profound place, but it's actually our mind tricking us. We also, in our modern day society, rely on our mind a lot, changing our mindset, shifting the programs, but it really is this very forward action step. So, energy coaching to me is a place of magic where we remember that our imagination is the key to help our brain be entertained and to be able to translate imagery, sensing, and emotions into a better understanding. But the imagination is actually coming from our spirit and our soul, and it accesses it from the place of our heart. And so there's a somatic component, but also really this energetic, rich, illustrative component that uses imagination as the portal to a deeper understanding of our own wisdom that helps us be our own active healer and take back our self-agency.
It's my favorite description you've given of it.
Well, thanks then.
Yeah, and actually quite timely around this episode, there will be a live energy coaching session that I've done with a client launching right around the time of this episode. So if you heard that definition and then you're also like, now I want to experience it, that'll be there as well. But I feel like it's so fascinating hearing you share it in that way and like having your human design chart pulled as well, because you have these two channels in your head and mind center. And I know you're pretty well versed in human design, so I'm sure you're very aware of these channels. But one of them is the channel of logic, which is really good at posing a question and then sifting through the answers, but finding answers that are supportive for others and not you. And then the other one is all about awareness and inspiration, and it's all about life's mysteries and seeing things in new ways. And so it's so fascinating to hear you talk about energy coaching in this way, because seeing those defined mind channels in action of like, you have this mind that sees the mysteries, and I've seen that live in action, and then seeing it in your design in this lens is just so magical. So magical. I think this is more of a reflection than a question. But if you have anything to say about that, I would love to hear it.
I do know those two channels are active for sure. And I find that part of also the fact that my son is in the 12th house. And so a lot of it is in this shadow quality of introspection. And there is this sense for myself that my journey has been, how do I share confidently, which only means me being fully embodied in myself and not proving to anyone else that I sense and see things in a very different way. And my wound has been that I knew I was, quote, intelligent or smart, but it wasn't always coming out in certain ways. And it was only when I could meet someone who was open enough to hear what I had to say, did I would I be able to actually communicate in a way that felt true for me, that felt precise and felt really amazing. And the fact that I was able to pull these things that I just feel and see and sense all the time, and that it actually landed. And so often growing up, I felt like I was never really heard. I couldn't communicate well enough for people to even receive it. And so now I love playing this game. I love people asking questions because it's such an invitation for me to use those two channels. And I recognize I'm actually not thinking, right? Like I can't feel my brain working hard versus other times I can feel my brain working it out. But when I can't, it's really fascinating because I could voice things, but my sacred witness is always also like, well, that makes sense. And so there's this very interesting dynamic that happens because I'm also learning myself and processing and letting it integrate while I'm also voicing it.
Yeah, that's so fascinating to hear you describe the difference between like when you're processing a thought or a thought is coming through, the difference between that and actually just being stuck in your head. And that feels like the gift of the mind, the gift of the head, how your brain is actually designed to function versus how so many people use it. Do you have any tips or suggestions for people who are like, I don't even understand this concept of like hearing stuff from my mind versus hearing stuff from my heart versus hearing stuff from my body? Like, any tips or suggestions to just like start getting connected to those different inner workings?
Yeah. So I'd say there's a difference between allowing your mind to begin to synthesize and bring forth a completely different paradigm or idea that is uniquely yours based on what you have learned or started to integrate or synthesize from others, mm-hmm. versus your mind working really hard to figure something out. And I would say the difference to me, the way that I would practice it, is to have a conversation with a buddy, you know, mm-hmm. on a regular basis. And notice when you are together and let's say a question's asked and there's conversation or you're sharing openly and you're noticing how your mind is attaching itself and working hard because you feel it. There's like pressure, your facial expression might change a little bit, right? And so just noting those nuances or those tells, those signs, versus when you talk and then you say, wait, I don't even fully know what I said. But the person in front of you is like, yes, yes.
Yeah.
That is when your mind is really kind of just allowing its brilliance to shine in a way that is coming from more than just how and what. And then with the heart, I find it comes from a space of when you can feel the sense and level of compassion and empathy when you're having a conversation with someone, as so that it's a mirror without you feeling the desire or need to save or rescue someone or put story behind it. There's a moment with any kind of conversation with certain people where you can feel that.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's a nice feedback. And then from an energetic standpoint or from like a soul or spirit standpoint, it always feels like there is a, to me, it feels like there's a touch of divine. There's a touch of a moment of pause. Like when you have a moment with someone that could be from the mind and the heart, mm-hmm. but then there's like a, wow, I think I've just fallen in love a little bit more with the person, with life, with myself. And there's a sense of gratitude to it. Like you want to take a snapshot of the moment and not have it disappear on you. That's what I would say. And so to me, it's having someone in front to reflect that back as a mirror.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a beautiful practice to consider. And I'm noticing even still how cerebral I can get with this concept of like hearing the different voices within my body and how my brain will be like, it's almost like I can like see my brain trying to float over to my heart and be like, here's a megaphone. What do you have to say? But that's not actually how it works. It is just those moments of like, oh, I just know what came through and the feelings and the reflections you get back. And that's just such a beautiful, well-rounded way to consider that. Yeah. Sora, you're my first projector on the show. Can you believe that, first of all?
Really?
Really? So I'm very excited about that. And for anyone listening who doesn't know, I'm also a projector. So I'm very excited to touch on this piece of human design. And I feel like you've already touched a little bit on some of the feeling invited in to share some of your knowings and how valuable that's been. I thought it could be fun if I define what a projector is and then maybe you define what a projector is. Does that sound fun for you?
That sounds really fun. And I do hope in whatever episode feels aligned with you that you will read your chart and have other people get to know you in this way as a projector.
Oh,
the way you're doing this as such an honor, how you're reading me and my chart.
Thank you for that invitation.
You're welcome.
Okay, so projectors. Projectors are really designed to be our guides. They're here to have this bird's eye view perspective, really like can have this zoom out of an entire space and just this offering of guidance, this offering of perspective. They can see kind of the system in its entirety. And they can kind of easily see the pieces or the gears that are off that need to be shifted that can really optimize a system in its wholeness. Projectors are designed to be seen, so designed to show up in their depths and then be invited in. So we were just talking about that a moment ago, to be recognized and invited in to share that wisdom. And that's when they're really in their space of flow. And then the last thing I'll say about projectors, and then we'll hear another magical definition of projectors, is that projectors are not designed to go, 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 go all the time. Projectors are designed to have some spaciousness. They're designed to maybe work a little bit more in sprints. They still have capacity to get things done, though. And I know that I've been in space with Sora, and Sora can get things done. And also, as a projector myself, like so often people will be like, you're not a projector, you have too much energy. And so, a reminder for our projectors that are listening, it's not that you have no energy, it's just about noticing and honoring when your energy wants to show up and how it wants to show up. That's how I would define being a projector. What about you?
So I believe a projector in this moment in time is here to change the effing world.
Oh, yes.
And so the reason I say that, not that all others aren't, but regarding specifically the way in which society has been living and working in life.
Yes.
So until this day and age, it makes sense it was a generator's world. There was a lot that needed to happen, and there was a lot of technology that needed to happen, and there was a huge wave from the industrial area all the way until now. But we're also in a great reckoning now, and we're recognizing that we are tired and that this capitalistic society has created turmoil and wars and genocide and all of these different things from the attitude of go, go, go and consume, 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 because it used to be based on survival. But it also diminished the old ways and the indigenous ways. So, the reason why I say projectors are here to change the world is projectors are not supposed to work as much, right? We are supposed to slow down. We are supposed to take care of ourselves and find the joy and the delight in life and our passions that don't always have to reflect our work that creates a monetary exchange. And that's what creates the sense of success. And so, if we can begin to redefine what success is, begin to notice how we can support others in resting more and slowing down and being more mindful and seeing the bigger picture, right? So, not just the purchasing power of instant gratification or the wants and needs of just us, but seeing from a meta perspective of what's actually required, to me, that's circular sacred leadership. And us projectors are learning what that is. We're not necessarily good at it yet because we have to decondition, but we are so yearning for it. And we are here to model that by modeling it for ourselves first. So that's what I would say is my definition of projector, along with everything else that you had said.
I love that. And having been in so many of your spaces in so many different ways, like this was one of the things that just magnetized me in this idea of we're actually allowed to have spaciousness in the way that we work. Like we're allowed to press pause. And that doesn't mean everything's going to be crashing down. We actually can still have really sustained success in that pause. And I feel like you are just a walking, breathing example of that in so many ways. What does the deconditioning process look like in that?
Gosh, so as a projector, the deconditioning process was filled with resistance in the beginning. I believe I learned about human design maybe a little less than 10 years ago. And when I first heard about myself as a projector, I was a F no. That is not me. What does this mean to be invited? What does it mean to you're supposed to rest more and all of that. I was like, no, that's not how we build success. And so the deconditioning process, at least for me, from a personal standpoint, was years of saying no and being completely resistant and not looking at it or addressing it or identifying any of the possibilities that this might be totally aligned. And so I would constantly burn out over and over again. Over and over again. And I would get sick and I would not feel successful. No matter what occurred, I would never feel it. And so then after a certain point, I recognized, okay, something drastically has to change in the way that I function in the world so that my body doesn't break down and that I'm not constantly in a sense of worry for my life, my splenic, right? And I just kept feeling as if I wasn't getting a break. And no one was listening. And I was in this weird vortex by myself. And I started to settle into the possibilities. And so then from that point, I would recognize when I would say, okay, I'm receiving the invitation, slowing down, and then not trusting it, and then moving forward again and finding the pain and what was, and recognizing I'm going back to the old way of being. And so, just like the metaphor of the root canal, it was the same journey that I had to take in recognizing I was so caught up in this memory of how I'm supposed to do it based on looking at everyone else, but it was causing me so much pain and angst. And when I finally decided to take some medicine, and which was recognizing what actually a projector looks like and feels like. Then I received support from someone else to help me recognize more so what a projector means and what does it mean to be that. Then I started to realize, okay, this isn't actually a bad life. This is the most awesome life that I could live.
I love that. I also hated being a projector when I found out. I was like, nope, hate this entire system. Like, do not show me anything else about human design. It's so funny that you had a similar experience to that. And I actually was just talking to someone a couple days ago that they were like, I'm totally, they found out they were a projector and they're like, I'm not. It's wrong. Like, I feel like there's like this rebellion within projectors as well, but I think much more so it's the conditioning of just like, though that's not how I was taught to operate. And the invitation, what is that? But it's actually so beautiful when you start to recognize yourself and you start to recognize what you want to be seen for. I think there's so much beauty in like how an invitation actually unfolds when you can start to lean into that. But yeah, if you're listening to this and you have a lot of resistance about being a projector, we see you.
We see you. And also, great community leaders and thought leaders never actually want to be the leader. And yet, that is our makeup, not from a standpoint of hierarchy or preaching on a soapbox, but from a standpoint of we have this ability to see things in a way that can change people and have them feel like they have the power to move through their own stuff and get to the other side. Oh, but can I say one more thing? Most projectors also recognize that. So we have this like slight sense of, but we know it all, which we do. And then we feel triggered by the fact that no one wants to hear what we know, but it's really true. And yet also we then come to this place of humility of no, but I don't even know if it's true. So it's this weird circular experience that we have.
Are you calling me out directly here? I feel like, yeah, you're because we see that bird's eye view and we have that zoomed out perspective, you see so much. You see so much. And if you aren't invited in, if you're not, I think also if you're not consciously creating and cultivating the communities that you're in, you're gonna run into that bitterness. And I know bitterness. That's the projector's not self theme. And if you're a projector and you hear the word bitterness, I feel like there's this instant knowing. I'm like, oh, I know that distaste in life. So I want to ask a very Megan question here to you. And by the way, everyone listening, I was the person that accidentally made Q&A calls go for like 2 hours all the time when I was going through devoted energy coaching school because I had these Megan questions.
Which I loved, by the way. I still miss the Megan questions. So please.
The curiosity is in my human design as well. Before I ask the question, can you define what a through line is? Because it's going to have to do with the question.
Okay. Now I want to know the question before I answer what a through line is. That's two questions. Can you put it together?
Yeah, I was going to ask because you have such a gift. And I think this is so much, speaks so much to the channels that we were discussing earlier. I was going to ask what you feel like the through line of this conversation is. Is that not a Megan question if you've ever heard
that
one?
That is totally a Megan question.
It's 100%. Like, if anyone wants to know how my mind operates, it's that question, that two-part question.
Yeah, exactly. And so I need to feel always with Megan, I want to know the fullness of the question by the mini questions that are beneath it. But she likes to throw me a curve and try to do one question at a time. And so therefore... We know each other well, folks. Okay, so I would say that a through line is a little bit more than a main idea. So a through line for me is the curious starting point of what you are intrigued about before you go on this journey. So if it was a story, for example, you'd have this one moment of a cliffhanger in the beginning of the story. That is, let's say sometimes a question or a statement, dot, dot, dot. And you're like, wait, where is this going? And the answer to that question doesn't happen until either the middle or the end of the story. And so that's what I think of as through line. My husband at the moment is learning about this particular way of doing writing through the lens of, I don't know the word, but it is a Japanese way of doing storytelling, which is very different than the hero's journey where there's an arc. And instead in it, it's a journey where you have a bit of a question or description, it connects to another, but then the third section is completely different. It's a bird's eye view of a perspective.
Ooh.
And then you end with this deeper, profound consideration. And so that's what a through line is. Meaning most folks think of what's the main idea? We're done. I know the beginning, the middle, the end, the resolution, and now we're complete. And they believe that's what healing is. I don't believe that's what healing is. Healing is hopping and skipping around and sometimes not understanding why one thing connects with another. But if you have one curiosity that goes through the entire experience, you'll come out on the other side with a whoa.
Yeah. Okay. I promise we won't forget about the second part of the question, but I'm curious how you find this is so supportive, not only for coaches, but also in day-to-day life.
Oh, are you asking me how, or you were saying that it is?
Asking.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear the question. I heard it as a statement. So, okay. Yes, I do think it's profound in day-to-day life and in coaching. And the reason being is we are in a human space where we believe as a, really it's an illusion, but we believe that everything has cause and effect. And so therefore there's this sense of I do something and there's a result. So in life, if you work hard, you will do really well. If I plan out my entire day, it's going to go exactly as planned, right? Yeah. That kind of, we hope, we wish, we expect, we desire. Yeah. And in coaching is the same way. And the fact that often you'll notice that as a coach, you think, okay, I've got this client in front of me. They have paid me to be with them. This is their problem. This is the solution they want. I need to get them from point A to point Z. That is my only role. is to help them. And if they go sideways or they're not feeling well, or they are now pissed, or all these other emotions, thoughts, and places they go, that you haven't done your job because you're supposed to get from point A to point Z. But for us in energy coaching, we recognize in life that's never the case. And there are many moments in the in-between where we say to ourselves, what is going on? What is happening in my life right now? This makes no sense. Or what is, am I, is this real? Do I feel like I'm pulled in different directions? I feel like I'm here, but also not here. There's these weird feelings that occur within us. And that's the place of us recognizing it's not linear and we don't have to understand everything, but there will be a moment in time where things kind of collide together and create this cosmic understanding, and then it'll go away, and then the next thing happens.
Yeah, this is probably, as I'm coming to realize right now, one of the most profound things I learned in energy coaching school. Because it does, and I think it's so supportive, even for like the projector energy we were talking about, like it takes off pressure from the timeline of things. Because, and it kind of gives permission for life to be lifey. Like life is not going to stop moving no matter how powerful your goal is. And it gives that space for life to come in and for you not to put so much excess pressure on yourself for the thing to happen. And I find that usually what happens is the thing usually still happens. Like you still go from A to Z, even if you turn sideways, flip upside down, go southwest, go southeast, go in all the directions, you still usually end up at Z.
Yeah.
It
And
might just look a little
often, if
different.
you let it go, you don't even end up in Z. You end up in unicorn land. You end up in a place that you're like, wow, I couldn't even imagine.
That's so true. That's it right there. Like it comes to life better than you ever imagined.
Yeah. Because yes, you can go from A to Z. But for me, I want to go from A to unicorn land because my Z is so limited.
Ooh, I feel like we're just opening up the gold and we need 2 more hours to talk about it all. Okay, but wait, we can't forget second part of the Megan question. What do you find the through line is in this conversation?
So I would say the through line is the fact that we can, for folks to consider to redefine what they believe a through line to be, meaning there's a word line in there. So there's going to be possibly an attachment around there being a particular set of ways of entering into something and then having this particular result. But in actuality, like we were talking about this entire time, it isn't like that. There's spirals and different directions that are taken. And what a through line does is simply anchors us into a state of presence and centering so that we can go on a journey traversing in all these different directions without losing ourselves. And so I wonder if that might be the through line, which is let us lose control and be in the unexpected and go topsy-turvy in all directions, but don't lose ourselves in the process.
That's such a gift that you have of weaving together a through line. It's so magical. I still have a recording of the through line of me going through decks that you shared. And it's such a gift to hear the way you present a quote unquote through line. And even in this episode, I feel like that's so true of starting out with talking about all the different titles and labels and roles and things and way that we are and how can we fit them all into a beautiful conversation and then going to root canals. Who knew root canals would be a part of it all? And so even in the essence of itself, I love that so much. And speaking of journeys, I know you have a magical quiz that can even help people. I think it can help people get curious with their own through line. Would you say that that's true?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So I've got a what is your magic medicine quiz? And so it supports you in beginning to recognize you from an archetypal standpoint, not to necessarily define you, but to get you curious, right? To activate that through line around what does these archetypal energies either resonate or don't resonate within you. But it truly helps you start to recognize your medicine, your gifts, the reason why you are so profoundly here. And then from that, possibly desiring to then enter and be supported in different ways inside of our devoted community.
Yeah, I love this quiz so much. I am a prolific alchemist. I have the resources on my desktop. I open them all the time. It is a magical quiz that will give you so much insight and also very wonderful tools that you can tune into like day to day as well. So we'll link it up in the show notes so you all can take it as well. Sora, I'm so grateful for this conversation. I'm so grateful for you allowing space for me to enter into your human design as well, and for all the wisdom that you've shared today. Thank you so much for this conversation.
Oh, thank you, Megan. I know that whenever we have conversations, they're always very rich and nuanced and deep. And so I'm so happy. And your curiosity always invites this really profound conversation. So I'm so happy to be as a guest, and the fact that you're sharing your medicine in this way with everyone else.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you're ready to get unstuck and on with a joyful life, you're ready to be magnetically you in life, relationships, business, and everything in between, I invite you to apply for coaching together. It all starts with a clarity call. If you thought this was magic, get ready to blow your mind through your own possibilities. Apply for coaching at megansiemens.com/coaching.